Now, of all my ignorance about fishing, there's something I do know. This I do know, that next Monday, when it opens, there is nothing else that a fisherman is going to do for a while except fish, right? If you're sick, it doesn't matter. You get on the boat anyway, and you tough it out. Right now, I don't know if I could do that. But from what I understand, that's what you do. If you need surgery, it can wait. You call the doctor, and you tell them, not now, it's not a good time. If you cut your hand, and it's not bleeding too bad, then you don't go into emerge, because you'd be there till next fishing season anyhow. You take some duct tape, and you patch it up, and you press on. Am I close? Am I close? If there's a nor'easter storm brewing, you get out and in as fast as you can, right? There's no concept of taking a road trip in early December if you are the family of a fisherman, right? Right? There's no concept of, well, I'm feeling a little sniffly today. I think maybe I'll stay home for the first week or two of the fishing season. There's no real concept of, my wife and I haven't been out on a date lately. Maybe we'll go out the first week of December, second week of December. Let me take a poll. How many of you have actually fished for all day and all night? Like you stayed out in your boat all night and didn't come back in for days. How many people have done that before? Yeah, there's hands all over the place. Yeah, how many people have fished? Has anyone here fished like an entire week, 7 days in a row without coming home? Yeah, there's some people that have done that before. Wow. How many people, and this is where he gets really dedicated, how many people have fished on Christmas Day? Anyone actually gone out on Christmas Day? Owie, have you gone out on Christmas Day before? No? Yes? Maybe? Can you hear me, Owie? I always get a check sometimes. Okay, so nobody here has actually fished on Christmas Day, but Christmas Eve? Yeah, Christmas Eve. What about New Year's Day? Yeah, New Year's Day, not a big deal. Christmas Day is a big deal. New Year's Day is not such a big deal. The important thing is that you focus during the fishing season. There's only one time a year that you're allowed to fish, and it's during fishing season, and it's your income. It's your livelihood that's at stake. It's your favorite fishing spot that's at stake. If you don't get there, someone else might, and they might take it away from you. I heard a captain of a boat talking at Sip Cafe last year, just as the season had opened, or it was preparing to open. And I heard him talking. I overheard this while I was writing a sermon. And he was talking with someone else about needing to find an extra crew person for his boat for a couple of weeks because they were shorthanded. And then he threw out this figure that he was going to pay this crew person per week. And it was in the thousands. And for a moment, I thought, could I take a couple weeks vacation and do this? Could I really do that? Now, you see, the thing I know about fishing is that it takes a lot of focus during that particular fishing time. And so if we look back to this story of Jesus talking to these people, some that were actually fishing, some that were preparing to fish, the remarkable thing about this story is that while they were getting ready for the go time, the focus time of their career, Jesus comes to them and somehow he convinces them that there's something else more pressing to do with their time than to prepare for fishing or to actually going fishing. And I have to wonder what could actually be more compelling than actually doing what they were doing at that time. What is it that would distract you next Monday from going out on your boat that you could say, yeah, I know it's the first day, it's dumping day, but I don't think I'm going today because I've just received a call from someone or so-and-so has asked me to do something and it's taken your focus away. What could that possibly be? And it wasn't even like it was just one person. It was two different sets of people, and there were multiple people at each time. And they didn't just say, okay, we'll pack things up, and then we'll follow you, Jesus, and we'll go see what you're up to, and we'll do some things with you. It says that they left their boats, and they left their nets, and they just immediately went. I can't imagine what that would be that would compel them to do that. But let's read a little bit further. because immediately after we read this story in the book of Matthew about these fishermen who were preparing to go, but then their focus was turned, we read about what Jesus was doing. We read that Jesus went through Galilee in verse 23, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And it says in verse 24 that people were spread out all over Syria. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, those who were possessed by demons, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. And verse 25 says, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across from the Jordan followed him. It's fascinating to me because these large crowds of people followed Jesus because of the miraculous things that were taking place in and around him. He was able to get the focus of these fishermen off what they were doing to follow him because of the kinds of things that were taking place around him. The Gospel of Mark reiterates a very similar story about Jesus and his ministry on earth. The disciples went out, Mark 16 says, the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Gospel of Luke tells us this very same story. The fact of the matter was this, folks. The reason Jesus was compelling to these fishermen, the reason that he was able to help them move their focus off of what they were doing and place their focus on following him, was because he wasn't just a man of a few intelligent words. He wasn't just a man that came along with a few great ideas and said, here's a great idea, let's go do this. He wasn't just a man who came after them saying, how about a career change? How about a new way of life? He wasn't just a man that would step in and give them wisdom to get out of a jam and then they could carry on in their normal life. They recognized and they realized that what was going on around Jesus was different. It was different than all of that. Jesus' words and Jesus' ideas and his way of life was shown to have authority because of the things that were taking place, the miraculous things, the powerful things that were taking place in his ministry. And because of that, it attracted their attention. And they said, "We will follow you." The Gospel of Matthew also writes this in chapter 11. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Folks, we live in a world where we have a lot of demands and a lot of pressures and a lot of expectations placed on us. We live in a world where many of us become really exhausted just keeping up with the demands of life, the demands of work, the demands of careers, the demands of children. And who feels here tonight like they have enough capacity left in the daily routines of life to give any attention to things like God and Jesus and spirituality? I think a lot of people come to the place where they feel like they're just tapped out. They're maxed out with time and attention. And sometimes people feel like they're not even keeping the other parts of their life afloat. So they can't even consider adding in the possibility of spirituality, of God and of Jesus, because that just might make everything explode. But contrary to what is sometimes portrayed, God isn't like another creditor who just wants a portion of our time and a portion of our stuff, and wants us to do things a certain way. And then when we get it wrong, he comes down and is all cranky and discouraged with us. Sometimes we even get that wrong in church. But God, through his son Jesus, is kind of like I just read from the Gospel of Matthew. He says, instead, "Come to me all who are weary." and burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' invitation to the fishermen that night was pretty simple. It was, follow me. It was just, walk with me. Let's go together down the road of life, and let's see what takes place in our lives and in the lives of other people. And the things that took place proved to them that Jesus wasn't just some other guy with some other set of ideas, but in fact, he was indeed, as the Gospel of John says, the way, the truth, and the life. You and I always want to know that we have what it takes to do the best at the things we do. And contrary to what we may think, we do have what it takes to follow Jesus. The invitation is there. The book of Revelation says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And so, folks, as we prepare to wrap up tonight, my challenge from the Word of God for us tonight is very simple. It's this. What would it take for each of us here to pay more attention to our own spiritual lives? For the fishermen in the story tonight in the Gospels, it took seeing and encountering the power of Jesus in their life and seeing it in the lives of the people around them, which are pretty convincing things for them, because it took them away from fishing, which is a pretty important thing to do when it's fishing time. And so my challenge for you, my question for all of us tonight, is what would it take for us to respond to Jesus' invitation and say, yes, I will walk with you more closely tomorrow than I did today. I will walk with you more closely. What would it take for you to respond, to be challenged by that invitation to follow me? Let's just pray for a moment tonight. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come in places like this, and we have the opportunity to look into your word, and we have the opportunity to worship. And I just pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you are stirring hearts tonight with this very simple question. What would it take to capture our attentions? What would it take to convince us that though we are burdened and though we are weary, that you can give us rest? Whatever it would take, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you draw each heart tonight in that unique way that only you know about, so that we could come and follow you and walk with you in the days and the weeks and the months that come, closer than we have before. So, Holy Spirit, draw hearts tonight. We thank you for this. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. And as we typically do at the end of our fishermen services, we're going to ask everyone who is involved in the fishing industry in some way to come and line up along the front here. And once everyone involved in the fishing industry is here, we're just simply going to gather around them. We're going to pray for their safety and for the prosperity of this particular season that we have coming upon us this year. So thanks for starting the move, Colin. You're starting the way. Everyone else who is involved in the fishing industry in some capacity, just come on forward now and gather around here, around the front, and we're going to take a moment and we're just going to pray God's blessing on you folks this evening. And then afterwards, we do have some refreshments in the foyer. We invite you to stick around and just have a cup of coffee and just enjoy some conversations before you head out this evening. A few more people are coming tonight, and if you have some friends or family up here as well, you can certainly come gather around them, and you can place a hand on their shoulder. We're simply going to pray tonight that God will bless, keep people safe, and bring prosperity to the season that is coming. So let's pray tonight, folks. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your provision. And I thank you, Lord God, for your protection. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given a way, a means of livelihood to all of these individuals who are here along the front rows of our assembly this evening. And we pray, Lord, that in a week's time, a week from tomorrow, when it is go time, Lord, we just pray that there would be prosperity and that there would be blessing and that there would be safety for all of these individuals and for their families as they head back out onto the waters again this year. I just pray, Lord, that if they are working on their own boats, that you would give them wisdom as captains, the wisdom to make wise choices and the wisdom to know when to go and when to come and all of the other things that go along with that. And Lord, if they are working on a boat, if they are working along with the captain, we just pray that you would give wisdom to that boat as well, Lord God, so that everyone can return safely and can be given enough, everything they need for their families. And so we thank you for this. We thank you for the way that you bless Southwest Nova with this particular industry. And we just pray that it continues again for another year. Just ask that you bless all of these folks. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen.